Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who raises the dead. Amen. Harland needed a desperate change in his life. He was 65, broke. He lived in a tiny house, and his car just kept breaking down. He was surviving off of a $99 a month Social Security check. Things needed to change for him, and fast. He didn't have much to offer the world except one thing, an excellent chicken recipe that his family and friends had raved about. And so he decides to put his hope into that. And so Harlan traveled to many restaurants in many different states trying to sell his chicken recipe in return for a small fee from every piece of chicken that was sold that had used his recipe. And as he is trying to sell this recipe, he keeps getting rejected. He was rejected over 1,000 times, but yet he endured and he still kept his hope in his recipe. On his 1,000th and 9th try, he finally heard a yes, and that was all that he had needed. His chicken recipe took off like a wildfire, and then he was able to start his own restaurant chain because of its success. And perhaps you might have heard of this chain. It's called Kentucky Fried Chicken. And the man's name is Colonel Harlan Sanders. He put his hope in his recipe. He endured and he pushed on. Harlan had hope. In our text, we see the exiles in a hopeless situation. The people are far away from home. They've seen it destroyed and they've been taken captive. They've seen some of their friends and family members killed or captured as well, and it doesn't seem like they're going to return home anytime soon. And it's quite obvious why they are there in exile, because of their sin and rebellion against the Lord. No wonder they cry out, "Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we are indeed cut off." Let those words sink in for just a moment. What a horrible plight and feeling. Dry bones is a picturesque way of signifying despair, of being discouraged, or saying that you are listless. Dry bones are the opposite of healthy ones, which have the moist marrow and vital sap that they need. In the Bible, healthy bones signify joy, but the people say they have dry ones, very dry ones. They say they have no joy, and on top of it all, they say their hope is lost and that they are cut off. They say the future looks bleak and pointless. They say we are separated from God. Israel could use some hope, and we can too. We too know what it's like to say our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, and we are indeed cut off. That can be an easy thing to say when we face a devastating disease or hard illness like cancer. It can be easy to lose hope in the face of a long road of treatment and recovery. We can say the same as we may wrestle over the death of a loved one and still feel the same pain today as when they had left us some time ago. It can be a challenge to have joy when it seems like it's just one thing after another happening to us in our lives, whether it's disaster or disappointment. And it can be a challenge to have joy when we deal with the sin, guilt, and shame that we carry and bear in our lives. And as we deal with sufferings and trials, we can feel sometimes forgotten or forsaken by God. We too can use some hope. Ezekiel enters the stage to give a message of hope to God's exiled people. And his vision is the basis for that famous song, "Them Bones." He says that the hand of the Lord was upon him and that he was led by the Spirit into the middle of a valley that was full of bones. But these bones weren't just any kind of bones. They were dry ones. They were old, cracked, sun-bleached, and had no traces of life in them whatsoever. And the Lord asks Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And he replies with human ignorance, "So, Lord God, you know." And God tells him to prophesy to these bones like they are a real living people. He is to preach to them like I am preaching to you. He is to tell the bones, "Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." And the prophet obeys and prophesies as commanded. And as he does, there's not just a rattling, but an actual earthquake. The bones rattle together to become skeletons. He then sees sinews coming upon them, connecting bones and muscles. Next comes organs and flesh and skin. And then there's a whole army of people standing before him. But something is missing. They need breath, because they're standing lifeless. And so he is to prophesy to the breath and say, "Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live." Ezekiel says God's word, which brings life, and the breath comes and animates these lifeless people. God had turned that valley of bones into a living and breathing army of people. And God then explains the vision to the prophet, how he is to answer their complaint. He is to tell the people, "Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel." Their hope is grounded in the vision that God can raise the dead. If God can do something like raising the dead, then certainly he can bring his exiled people back home despite the utter hopelessness of it all. He will restore them and bring them back to where they belong. And he continues to say that God can raise the dead and that he will give his spirit. He finishes it all by saying, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord." What a hope and promise. The Lord guarantees that he will do this. And it will show the people who he is. A loving, gracious, and merciful God. Israel has hope. And so do you. Listen to what our Lord says in our gospel text. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." The one we hope in has the power over sin and death. He gives true and eternal life. Death will not have the last word over us, but Jesus will, who says, "Because I live, you also will live." And this Lord will call us up out of the grave on the last day, like he did Lazarus. He will call you by your name, and you will come forth, and you will be raised with a new and glorious body. It will work how it's supposed to, and it will be perfect. We will have living bones, not dry ones. We will have joy and peace in and with our Lord. And what's more is that he gives us his spirit that gives life. When did he do that? You probably don't even remember it. But we received it at our baptism when we were washed with water and the word. Peter makes this connection clear in Acts 2 when he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and your children and your grandchildren and all who are far off and who our Lord God will call." In our baptism, God fulfills this promise. and gives us the Spirit who creates faith and gives us new life. We are marked and sealed as God's forgiven children, whom He will raise up at the last day. We will never have to worry about being cut off or separated from our Lord, because Jesus was for us on the cross. Our sin or any kind of danger, trouble, or persecution will never separate us from God. Our baptism assures us of this, where we have been marked as His children, given His Spirit, and forgiven and washed clean. And because of these things, we have a special hope in times of trouble. Paul says it perfectly in Romans 5 when he writes, "More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The hope that we have in our resurrected Lord, who has conquered over sin and the grave, will not disappoint us, nor will it ever put us to shame. It is a true and real hope. It is a hope that will sustain, comfort, endure, and encourage. The Holy Spirit shows us that our hope in Jesus is not a misplaced one, but it is the only hope that we have." There will be days in our lives when we want to cry out with the Israelites, "Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, and we are indeed cut off. But we have hope in the One who has conquered over sin and the grave. We have hope in the One who gives us His Spirit and who forgives us our sins. We have hope in the One who is with us and marked us as His own, so that we can have trust in Him that we are never cut off or separated. In His name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the One who raises the dead. Amen.